USA Chat with Sat, September 24, 2024.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, dear Sat. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad to be with all of you today.
Sachin, we have 5 questions that were submitted. Anytime you're ready, I can read them to you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Question 1. In the daydream, you tell us to be still, and then for a moment, reading the mind stops, and the getting involved with the imagination comes to an end. My question is, how can we use this wisdom as an art of living in our daily life?
By repeating what was said and what you read often, I mean, it gets less and less hard to remember to not go with your thoughts as you really get fed up with having repeated thought or negative thoughts about yourself and your surrounding. The more disgusted you become toward this habit of the way of thinking, the easier it is just to stay. And this really has to go through the day as often as possible. As long as we enjoy our thinking the way we think, as long as we enjoy being entertained, then it's going to be much harder to break this chain. Just continuously, whenever a thought comes to suggest something that is not you, just dismiss it. Don't believe it. Don't follow it. And it's not a sitting technique, it's a life technique. And it has to be done, it really does. There is no shortcut for eliminating extra thinking. And it's a very simple approach. It's the simplest approach you could ever have to anything in life. You just stay. How hard is it to just stay instead of a company and then own your thoughts and emotions? Go ahead with next question.
Thank you. In a much older private conversation, probably prior to 2006, you had said, "By loving the guide with all my heart, I lost pride, I lost myself in that love, and I found myself in that love." The questioner says, "I am always so fascinated by your own personal process. Can you please talk to us how, by losing yourself in that love, you also found yourself in that same love? Thank you."
I remember one of the very first classes I was assigned to go to. I said that when you find your guru and you love your guru with all your heart, like I did, then your ears are open, your heart is open to obey their direction in the way back home. But the sole purpose of the guru and the student is to take the outer guru directing the student into the ultimate guru within their own self. And that's the finality. This is the whole purpose of this game that we play as guru and disciples and all of that stuff. And I always used to say it's like two fingers, two index fingers that are pointing to one another. The more you go toward the outer guru, the more the inner guru makes you interested to go even farther to the outer guru. And when this push comes and the trust comes from the inner, the ultimate guru, then the outer guru, which is absolutely no different than your own reality, gives you all sorts of direction to descend on yourself. So the love that you give is the wisdom that you get to go to your beloved, I mean, the eternal beloved. And they're all the same thing. They're all the same existence. So it's like an oval energy from out to in. And then the less will be the need of out, and then more the need of in, where in the beginning is much more out because the in is not clear. Go ahead.
Thank you. Question three has two parts. With the advancements in technology, many children and even adults use technology to create a character, which represents them in an alternate world, for example, in video games or in virtual reality devices. My first question is this like a dream within another dream, where the attention has dispersed too far away from the source?
It's very obvious. Anytime we use the mind to make some sort of creation or some sort of imagination, we're just in the mind, in the realms of mind. And it is almost obvious to all of us on the phone that when we take it too far, the result is tragedy at times. Because the mind, as I said before many times, was not created to have that much information and put out that much information and get that much information, and the fuse just pops out. It's just too much information, too much usage, where the mind can be an incredible instrument to day-to-day life to even get successful and this and that, and becomes just overloaded. That's always like eating too much food. There is no way that a person that continuously overeat does not ruin the physical body. And everything has to have balance. When a child has a mind that is not as crowded as the older people, it is so important to put information in it that is not like a junkyard. It's profitable information, beneficial information. So that's all I can say, because I've talked about this subject so much in past. I mean, after all, every person have to decide for their own life what they want to do with the instrument of body and mind. To me, too much attachment to the body is not beneficial for me. Too much being using my mind is not beneficial for me. But balance between silence and these two bring mental, emotional, and physical health. Go ahead.
Thank you. The second part of that question was, what is the remedy for these people to find their way back home?
What is our business about that? That's a better question. Again, if we're talking about our own family, then we have to find a very wiseful way to cut down in that type of freedom in the house and obey it ourselves. If we are talking about the society, it's really not our business. I tell you, when we think about the world and the society, we really are using our mind for wrong information. Because there is nothing that is our business. What is our business? To attend to ourselves and to find certain amount of tranquility where we are in contact with a source that is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent until the time that we realize we are the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent self. So I used to think that we should really think of the world when I was much younger and care about the things that was happening. But now I totally have realized it's not my business. And I don't say that in a very careless type of a cold-hearted way. I just honestly believe that the law, or if you can call it the law, is so perfect that even in imperfect situation, we have to let it go until it's proven perfect. Since our knowledge of this world is so limited, it's hard to judge it. Go ahead.
Thank you. Question 4. Hi, Sat. On the SCE number 141, you have said, spirituality does not need practicing. It needs a choice. What do you choose? End of quote. Would you please elaborate on that?
With a little bit of contemplation, we come to realize that practice means, literally, it means to do it until you achieve a goal. But choosing is that I choose to not sell my peace. I choose to smile and stay happy rather than dwelling on some sort of a miserable point and lack in my life where it would take away my equanimity. You can call choices practice, but really it's choices, is intelligent choices that we choose at least as many times as possible to choose silence over interference, to choose love over thoughts that are, revengeful towards someone. It's just a choice. And the choice comes down to this. I am looking for peace. Therefore, I cannot go with unpeaceful thoughts, emotions, and feelings. I choose to be loving. Therefore, I cannot entertain unloving thoughts. What do I do? How do I not go with it? By just choosing to stay. To break this belief of good and bad. It's like religion. The prophet came to tell the truth. And then they put so much good and bad around this pure truth, ancient truth, that it became laws and regulation, hate and revenge. So again, in day-to-day life, we can also choose that we don't want to make it religion out of our approach to life. That's what it means by choosing, rather than saying from tomorrow I'm going to practice to be this way or that way. No, it's a moment-to-moment decision. And no one can make that decision for us but ourselves. Ultimately, it's only the self that can free oneself from illusion. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Our final question says, it seems lately, each time I profess your significance to me and to my heart, you consistently point me to the eternal, which I do genuinely appreciate. Yet, till my last breath, I would only be fooling myself if I didn't profess your significance to me, and how having you in my life and in my heart are the only things worth living for. My question is, how can I live my moments in maintaining the balance between these two?
You don't have to maintain any balance. When one is useful, we'll be there. When is not useful, we'll move on. You don't need to take that responsibility. You know the truth and you know love. And when is needed, the truth would shift in into your life. When love needs it, it will do that. Just trust it. Trust that you have nothing to do with it except making moment-to-moment a choice that does not inflict pain on yourself.
Thank you so much, Sachin. That was the last of our questions.
Beautiful. So now we're going to open for any sharing or any personal question or whatever you guys want to do. We have 10 minutes. We can take advantage of these 10 minutes.
Hi, Seth. This is Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
I've been kind of starting to understand, finally, that the ego is like the main cage in the mind, and most of the thoughts are just to keep propping it up. Is that true, or is that just part of it?
I'm going to tell you, after many, many years of contemplation, writing a book around about it. You, as a pure consciousness and existence, find yourself not as totality, but you find yourself in a body when the body is born. And that pure consciousness is only aware of itself, meaning that when a baby is born, it is only aware of itself. Meaning it's just awareness free, completely free without any limitation. Then, through the five senses, we get encouragement to believe what is good and what is bad, and who we are as a girl, as our name, as this and that. Now, this entity was created in the mind because all the senses take the information to the mind. The body is inert, so it doesn't have much of a role there. So this personality, as of Adrian, with a name and a job and a son, built up of suggestions. But that pure consciousness that you always are has not been affected, has not been polluted at all. Okay, it is in a state of perfection and will continue to eternity. Now, the only choice we have, because of the fortune that we have in this lifetime, to be interested to get rid of what is the cause of our pain, we have been given information that who you take yourself to be, it is not separate from who you really are, but is the shadow of that. In other words, it's just the movement of play, of cosmic play. So little by little, what we do is shift the reality of who we thought we were to what we are told as a truth we are. So that this scale of balance, imbalance actually, it begins to be the other way. And this is why the stay meditation or stop meditation or omnipresent meditation or trust meditation, all of that are ways to weaken our grip of what is not real of ourself. And every one of you, through the understanding of being fed, including myself, the grip is loosening. In other words, we know who the thief is now. We can either cooperate with the thief or we can turn around and lock our door. Meaning lock the consciousness toward the objects. And so this is how it goes. Who you are and who I am always been, you can't even say perfection. I can say there is no imperfection in it. No imperfection as we know imperfection. And so all we have to do really is to remind one another, to have satsang, to listen to the truth, to digest the truth, and most important, to contemplate on the truth, so that this shackle of belief system just falls apart. In other words, something, some part of Adrian will no longer get affected by it. And so that's what it is. I am the body and the mind are one and the same. That's why you can never tell, are you thinking first Or is the mind popping up the thoughts? I've looked at it many hours. Sometimes I felt like, no, it's popping out. Sometimes I would say, no, I came up with that thought. And then I saw myself that I was neither one of them. They were the same, two sides of the same coin. That's why it was confusing to tell which is which. So please, everybody, do contemplate on what is being said, because by contemplation, it opens up within your own self, which it will never go away. It might be a little bit foggy, but it comes out of the fog again. So that's how it goes. Any other person would like to come in?
Hi, Sat. This is Montana.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you know that after a long time today, I had a lot of thoughts that just I couldn't stop them, no matter how hard I tried. And I realized your words, don't push yourself, don't pressure yourself. Let the thoughts come, let them bother you. Go through the hardship. And when you really feel it, then you're going to say enough is enough. And you finally let go without any force. And tonight I also needed my guru, and you're there for me again. I wanted to thank you because I did go through a period of intense hardship where I couldn't get rid of the thought. And finally, yeah, I got my answer. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I'm glad you share this. This is very important. There will be a time that the thoughts of whether it is condemnation, guilt, something that is your weakness will come, and nothing you can do. It's just, it has such an energy that is just swallow any effort from your part. At that time, just go through with it. Just relax and be okay with it. What happens is when you eventually come out of it, like I said so many times before, the taste is so bitter that the prevention gets into play. And also there will be a good opening. I'm sure that's what is happening to Mandana. Then there is an opening where next time it would be harder to fall into it. It's not as ambush. You see it coming. And then you can, you have a little bit of window to remedy it before it's too late. And like I said, if it's too late, it's not bad at all. You come out of it and do better next time. Well, guys, I enjoyed my time with all of you. I'm glad that you're interested in yourself in a way that the world does not look very interested. Keep up your balance, and if you do not have the balance for a while, be it. Just be very, very okay with it. Namaste to all of you.